Well, let's have all the choir coming up here. The choir will start the service in about 3 minutes. Time to get started. I want to say welcome this morning to Anchor Baptist Church on this Veterans Day Sunday. Tomorrow being Veterans Day, and we always want to honor our veterans, and so some of the music today will do that. We have our service flags out on the front seat, and many of you will recognize those. Some of you will recognize any of you that were or are in the military now, and we always want to honor our military veterans and folks that are serving. Active or retired, and so we'll do that here just a little bit. But let's start the service off. I'm going to invite you to stand with me, please, as we do the pledge of the American flag, and then we'll remain standing for the singing of the national anthem. All right, so everybody join in with us, please. The pledge of the American flag, attention, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen in Puerto Rican, if you're wondering. Oh, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing upon the service, and then we'll have the choir to sing. Father, thank you for another opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Father, I have looked forward to this morning. Had the great opportunity with the choir to spend some time in church yesterday. We share a thought, and now here we are back in the house of God, and I'm a happy man. I love being in church with God's people. I'm so thankful and grateful for everyone that's made their way out here this morning. God, I pray that you'll bless us in the service. Lord, as we certainly take a moment of our service to honor our vets, those who have served, who are living, those who have passed, and those who paid the ultimate price for our freedom. And God, we honor them today, and we remember them, and we want to always remember them here at Anchor Baptist Church. So, Father, I pray that for those who have loved ones who have served and perhaps already gone on into eternity, Lord, may their memories of their loved one be good memories. And God, we honor the spouses and others, the family members, as well as the individuals. And so, Lord, we do pray now that you'll bless the remainder of the service for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated.
One more chance there. One,
You don't need to probably turn here, but 126, we're going to make a switch in piano players here. And just, so I'm going to have you stand. We're going to sing one verse of My Country Tis of Thee. So 126. Yesterday, live radio, and it was streamed on YouTube. They did a great job. Thank you, choir. Well, let's stand. We're going to give them a chance to come down. We'll sing another song in just a bit. Let's have a little time of fellowship together. Thank you. Thank you so much, choir, for the good singing this morning, and thank you for being here in the service. If you'll find your seat, we'll continue on with the service. And the first thing we'd like to do is to welcome our visitors, and everybody here has been here before, but we're glad to have Mr. and Ms. Nolan back with us. Where'd they get to? I just saw them. There they are. Okay. Right there. We're glad to have them back with us today. Good to have Matthew back with us today, and with his grandma and his mother and dad. We're glad to see him here with us. And all of you, just tickled to have you here. We've got some folks out. Miss Bobby Alexander is in Anderson, visiting with family and friends. She does that occasionally. She's from the Anderson area. Be back, I think, for Wednesday night service. But anyway, I pray for her. Then Stephanie Lyles is at home sick. That's why she's not here. She would have went with us. She called yesterday morning, said she just didn't feel well and was trying to take medicine to get over it and to try to get to church. And she's not here this morning. Maybe she'll try to come tonight. I had to talk to her. But anyway, so pray for her. Of course, McKenna's with her. And then, of course, Christy Todd had her hip surgery, hip replacement. It was a little more involved than they first thought. And so because of that, they had to take out what they called a mini replacement, because the cup, the thing that, like for the joint, was put in upside down. And that's what wore out her femur bone till it cracked. And that's why literally, if she'd have walked on it any more than Wednesday night, it would have broken through. And so they caught it. They did the surgery. The surgery went good. In fact, heard Steve Watson this morning. And she came home yesterday from the hospital, but she has quite a long rehab ahead of her. And so 4 weeks without putting any weight on that leg at all. And so they're going to be doing some physical therapy at home. And the physical therapy is going to consist of her learning to hop on one leg. I told her, I said, man, I can't hop on two good legs. As long as I learn to hop on one, but that's where she'd get up and down a few stairs. And excuse me, got the heat all day for the first time, and it about choked me to death. But anyway, pray for her. Then probably, you know, it's going to be a year before she's completely better. I mean, that's how long it's going to take. But after 4 weeks, she'll be able to put some weight on it and then start walking on it and so on. And you know how you've had or known anyone that's had hip replacement, knee replacement. Sometimes it goes pretty well. Sometimes it doesn't. It just depends on a lot of factors. But anyway, you pray for them. And so she'll be out for a while. And so I hope that as a church we can certainly be praying and calling on her. But also I think what we're going to do, because it makes it a little easier on folks, is we're gonna get a reloadable gift card that we're gonna give to them for meals and things. You know, somebody said, well, let's get them a gift card for this place or that. Well, you know, maybe they don't like that place. So I don't know. But the point is, we'll get them one that they can take anywhere and just use at any point while she's being rehabbed, and that'll free up the ladies a little bit not to have to worry about cooking meals per se. But anyway, Brother Steve did this one time, and I thought it was kind of corny at the time, but I think we'll do it now. All right, everybody stand up, stand up, stand up. Turn around and look at the iPad back there and say, hey, Christy and Steve. All right, that's good. Thank you. Could have took the offering while you were standing up to get your billfold. Amen. It's an opportunity, I declare. But anyway, you pray for her while she's here. Of course, Steve will be there taking care of her. And so please remember them in prayer if you would. Another thing I want to mention real quickly, if you have, anybody this week has given out tracts, call out the number of tracts you've given out. Anybody? Tracts, how many, John? 10 for John? Is anybody? 5? 8? What's your name, Gail? How many? 10, all right. 4 for Martha? 5 and 15 altogether for the Wrights there? All right, who else? Anybody else? All right. You already told them, okay. All right, very good. Now, what our intention is, and I'm going to mention this while I'm on the subject, next Saturday, and we really need everybody's help if you're available and can do it. Next Saturday is, we did this a few weeks ago and it went really well. Next Saturday is a football game with South Carolina and Chattanooga. What are they called? The Chichi Moccasins? Okay. The duty won't be there. But where am I going here? Yeah. Next Saturday. The game is at 7:30. I assumed it was an afternoon game, but it's not. It's a night game. So anyway, what we want to do is get a big crowd of folks together to go out there at 4:00 in the afternoon. Now that's in the daylight, and of course they do the tailgating and all that stuff. And so what we'd like to do is get as many as can go with us. And if you've never done this before, come on and go anyway. We promise we'll put you with somebody who knows how, and it's really not that difficult. We're going to put you at certain strategic locations around the stadium and around the fairgrounds where they do the tailgating. That's really the best place to give them out. And then all we're going to do is just hand out tracts. That's all you have to do is just say, can I give you something to read? Don't have to say anything. Don't have to do anything other than that. And that way, but if anybody were to ask you something, if you can't answer it, then there'll be somebody close by that can talk to them, whatever. But we really need a lot of hands to do that. We are, how many short now, Brother Shelton? The best count you can do? So 3,000, let's say. 3,000 from our goal of 12,000 for the year. And remember, we didn't start until February, so this week and the 1st of December, which is a makeup game, football game, will be on that Saturday as well. However, if it goes as well as it has before, now this game may not have quite the hoopla that the Georgia game had, of course, but there'll still be a lot of people there. And it's very possible, probable, but very possible, that we could, in fact, reach our goal of 12,000 Saturday, giving out 3,000 tracts. We gave out, how many, 1,200 or so, I think? And we gave out all we had. That's what we had, and we could have done a lot more. But that was the Georgia game. And you talk about a crowd, my gracious. So, you know, these folks that do the tailgating and stuff, they just look for a reason to tailgate. And so a football game certainly will fit that bill. And so we're going to go out to the game at 4. We're going to leave the church here at 3:30. Because we want you to get here at maybe 3:15 or so. Now, I know it takes up part of your Saturday evening, but it's worth sacrificing a little time to get the gospel out to people who need it. And so I hope you'll try to come and go with us. Husbands and wives, young people, kids. I mean, we'll keep the family together if you want to. We'll work it out so you're not going to put you out on an island by yourself. Trust me, even if you were by yourself, the last time we went, I was by myself, and I went to one end of the tailgate thing, and I mean literally about 17 minutes, all my tracks were gone. And so that's how quickly it can be done. And so, and you'd be surprised. Now, your first thought is, how are they going to treat me? They're going to be mean to me, nasty to me. I didn't have one person say no. Did have one person take it and then drop it on the ground, and I went and picked it up. But nobody, in fact, several of them, some of the families, I guess a lot of this tailgating is like family folks that, I didn't know you had to buy this spot, and you can actually leave it to your children as an inheritance. Wow. I mean, I didn't realize it was that hardcore, but I guess it is. Anyway, there's a lot of family, and you go up, and there'd be 8 or 9 or 10 in there. I mean, that's how quick, you just boom, boom, 10, right, just like that. And several times they would say, who are you, where are you from? We'd tell them, they'd say, well, man, that's great. Keep up the good work. So, you believe it or not, I got more compliments than I got ugly looks. And so it's worth doing. Now, I'm not saying that it'll always be that way, but, you know, you think about what Jesus did for us at Calvary. And if, compared to what he went through, if I get someone, say no, or I don't want that, or leave me alone, or hold up, what is that? What is that compared to what Jesus went through? And so I hope you can go with us and be here at the church. Let's say about 3:15, we want to get everybody to see how many we have. We'll put the teams together. The Shelton is going to coordinate the drop-off point, and that way we can get there by 4 o'clock, and the game will be done by dark. My thing was that, you know, we're going to be out there at dark. Now, if it goes like it did before, I'll tell you, if we start at 4 o'clock, no later than 5 o'clock, probably 4:30, literally within 30 to 45 minutes, your tracks will be given out. And if we can do 3,000 Saturday, then we've reached our goal for the year. And we're going to keep on and go past the goal. And then next year, we've got something a little different we're going to try to do with the tractor, where we can actually double our goal and get out 24,000 gospel tracts in 2019. It can be done, I promise you, but it takes everybody pitching in. So, just wanted to mention that to you. 3:15, you can be here about then so that we can get the groups together. And just come and try it. You know, if you try it and you say, you know what, that's not for me, well, okay. But I promise you, if you ever do it, if someone actually takes it and says thank you, or you get to actually talk to someone about the Lord, it'll make you want to do it all the time. I'm telling you. And so, you know, just pray and ask the Lord to help you overcome the fear. Because it's there, I know. Satan will tell you, oh, they'll mistreat you, and they'll be mean to you, and they'll shoot at you, and they'll hit you with a stick or something like that. Now, he's a liar. That's what he does. He's a liar. So you come and help us next Saturday here at the church at 3:15. We'll leave here at 3:30. Okay, come on.
We had a great time yesterday up in Greenville, didn't we, choir? If you listen, I hadn't ever got that message preached Wednesday night out of my head. If you listen to that message, you know one of the things you learned is that what we're doing this coming Saturday is more important than what we did yesterday. So you think about that when deciding whether you can come on Saturday. I was just thinking about that in my own life. I'm just saying that out there. But look, we got a lot of stuff going on, so there's plenty of opportunities for us to serve the Lord this week and in the weeks to come. This afternoon, we're having an ensemble practice at 4, and a choir practice at 4:30. No rest for the weary choir. We got a lot of work to do to get ready for Christmas cantata. That is going to happen on the 16th, Sunday evening. Did I get that right? Sunday evening. Be inviting people. Brother Tim says all the time, we have a great choir, a lot of people up there singing, but we need people out there to sing to and to get the gospel for this cantata. Don't wait until the week before. Start telling people about it now, inviting people to come, invite big groups to come, as Brother Tim was saying, to some of us that you can think of a big group of people to invite. That'd be wonderful, too. We want a lot of people to hear this cantata. It's going to be good. It's called The Greatest Gift is the name of it, and there's speaking parts and acting parts and then the songs, of course. You're going to love it. Make plans for that. That'll be the Sunday night service on the 16th. Yes, ma'am. I'm getting that. Yes, ma'am. And also this afternoon, children are practicing for their program at 4:30 this afternoon. So while the choir is up here doing their thing this afternoon, children will be back here in the Sunday school room practicing for their program. Now, that program is going to be on December 9th. I believe I have that right. So it's the Sunday before the cantata, and you invite people for that, too. It won't be as long as the adult thing, but it'll be just a full service, and I've seen some of it, and it'll be wonderful. The kids do a great job. They're practicing today at 4:30, so have your kids here if they're participating for that. And then what else going on this week? Tuesday is the Rusty Anchors meeting here at the church at 10 o'clock, and you Rusty Anchors are going to have a good time. Pastor already talked about this Saturday at Williams Bryce. And let me go ahead and announce it on your calendar. We announced them a few weeks ago, but I wanted to reiterate. Christmas gatherings, ladies' Christmas party is on the 9th. It's the 7th. That's a Friday. Friday night, the 7th. And we'll give you a lot more details in the weeks to come. And then the week after that, which will be the 14th, will be the church-wide Christmas party. I know we're having that up here at North Springs on Clemson Road. So make plans for that. It'll be Friday evening, both of those things. The ladies on the 7th and the whole church on the 14th. And there's going to be a lot to do. We're going to have a good time. And it'll be a wonderful Christmas season here at Anchor. All right.
Let me remind the drama people, you need to be here at 4:30 also. So while the choir's practicing and the children are practicing, the drama will be practicing as well. So everybody just be where you're supposed to be. That'll make it easy. Number 365, we're going to stand and sing the first and last verses of How Great Thou Art. Number 365. If you found it, let's sing together. Oh Lord my God, when I in awful wonder consider all the world I have been made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, I bow throughout the universe to sway. My soul, my Savior God to me, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God to me, how great thou art. Acclamation and take me home. your soul by the congregation. Let's have the ushers to come ahead, take care of the offering. Let me mention two things. Number one, next, I don't, Brian, did you mention about next week? Okay, I want to make sure I wasn't repeating. Next week is, of course, next Thursday is Thanksgiving. And so next week, we're going to move our Wednesday night service to Tuesday night. We do this every year, and we do it at Christmas if it falls at the same, but Thanksgiving the same time every year. What are we waving at? Oh, I said next week. Oh, not, I'm sorry, a week from this coming Thursday. That's what I thought I said.
Huh? Did I not say next week?
You know what? I just forget it. No. A week from this Thursday is Thanksgiving. Does everybody know what Thanksgiving is?
So if I say the Tuesday before, does everybody get it?
I had such a good time yesterday. No, a week from Thursday. All right. So the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we're going to move that service to the Tuesday before the day before. Go home, look at your calendar, find Thanksgiving, and you'll know what day I'm talking about. So all that, we're going to move it to that because a lot of people either travel for Thanksgiving or have family come in. So this way it doesn't interfere at all, and we still are honoring the Lord by having our service. And so it'll be the same time, 7 o'clock on a Tuesday, so it'll be a week from this coming Tuesday, okay? That we'll have a Wednesday night service, and then everybody will be free to go be with their family or, you know, have your family cut in however that's going to work, all right? Then I had something else that is totally gone. I do not remember what I was, because, I mean, everybody just messed me up bad. So there was something else I was going to say, and I don't remember what, but I'll think of it. When I do, I'm not going to tell you. You mess my mind up like that, then I'm going to keep it to myself. Probably, no, I know it was. I remember now. I'm not going to tell you. No, I remember. If any of our church folk, anybody, would like to, and maybe we might do this at the end of the service today, to take a special offering, if you would like to give a little something towards the meal card for the Todd's, and that way you kind of do it all at once, you don't have to go to this person or that person. So at the end of the service, we'll just take a love offering, and we'll use that to provide the meals this week, and we'll do that each week, and that'll help them. But then it will also, ladies, it free you up from having to try to fix food and bring it and get it here and the logistics of it and everything. We'll do that at the end of the service. So, Brother Steve, don't let me forget that, okay? We'll do that right after the service concludes, all right? All right, let's pray together and we'll take care of the offering. Father, it's again a great joy to be in the house of the Lord. Father, we pray that you'll bless the offering, the gift and the giver. We're so grateful the way our people give. Lord, I pray they'll continue to be faithful in their giving, both in their tithes and their offerings. That's the gift and the giver, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Calvary's flow, I'll bury my body
Now my servant calls, he says, this child who is sick and lost, and is still a bride that came from sea. It's still a bride that lives with him on the highest star in heaven. In the depths of the sea, it is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. Now there are those who rely on the works that they do, and some men count on the time since. But when the battle's over and victory is won, I'll go home through the blood of the Father's only Son. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses with him from the highest part of heaven. In the depths of the sea, it is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within from the highest star in heaven. In the depths of the sea, it is still that brings victory to me. From the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea, it is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me.
Thank you, brethren. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. Doesn't matter what the world says or the liberals say. It's not another way. It's the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Turn to your Bibles, if you would, please, to the 81st Psalm. The 81st Psalm. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's page 639. Psalm 81. Am I on, John? Okay, I'm up. All right, good. Gotta make sure I'm on, make sure my mind's right. I mean, I can't do nothing without help. So, Psalm 81, and I want to look at one verse of Scripture this morning. Psalm 81, of course, as you see in some of your Bibles, especially your Scofield, at the top of the chapter, the little subtitle, it says, A Psalm of Asaph, and we have already talked about Asaph, one of three music leaders in the temple during the reign of David. Asaph was probably the chief musician. He probably was the head man. He was the tin master leader of the Old Testament. Of course, Tim was probably on staff back then, I'm sure. But, but he was just a junior a musician back then. By the way, and I meant to do this yesterday when I did a little interview on the radio and I forgot to. I'm telling you one thing, it was a great day when God sent Tim Masterly and his family to our church. But Tim does such a great job. I mean, if you could just know how our choir started and how he, I'm telling you, I'm sure he doesn't want me to do all this, and I won't tell you in a minute. But I'm telling you, he took us and taught us, he and Miss Jennifer taught us how to, I'm telling you, I may be biased. Oh, not maybe, I am. I think we have the best choir for a church our size to wear. I believe that. In fact, I think we got a better choir, not a big choir. That's right. I do. Now, you know, you say you're bragging. Yes, I am. I admit it. And if it's wrong, the Lord forgive me, but I said it. And it was just the spirit of the choir. The Tim always did such a good job. And then the fellowship afterwards, we all went and ate lunch together. I mean, that's the way Christians are supposed to be. That's what the Christian life is all about. Serving God and then fellowshipping afterwards. I mean, it was wonderful. I had such a great day yesterday. And so I want to say again to all the choir, great, great job, Brother Tim. Thank you so much for what you do. Jennifer helps with that music. And okay, God really blessed us. I've been in churches where we didn't have any music. We didn't have a piano player. We didn't have a song leader. We didn't have nothing. And God blessed us here with some good music. And I say thank the Lord for that. All right, Psalm 81, let's read one verse of Scripture. Stand with me, please, in reverence to the Word of God. We'll read the verse, and then we'll pray and give you the message. Notice in verse number 16. Notice the Bible says, He should have fed them also the finest of wheat, and with honey out of the rock, Thy satisfied thee. Father, we love you today, and we thank you for the opportunity to be in church this morning, to honor our veterans, those living, and those who give the ultimate price. Father, we're here to worship the one who gave his life, but he's alive today, sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us and saving sinners, of whom I was chief. And Father, I pray that through the message this morning that sinners will get saved, saints will be encouraged, and Father, we'll go away and say it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. And Father, may I just reiterate the thought, it's still the blood that saves from sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As you read, we did not read the entire psalm for time's sake, but the 81st psalm seems to be a psalm of history. Now remember that the psalms are songs. Now they're different from our songs. They do not have the meter. They don't have the rhyming. They're not written in 2-4 or 3-4 or 4-4, anything like that. I'm not even sure if they even had parts. The point is that in those days, these songs were written, they're literally stories. Okay, and by the way, isn't that what a song is supposed to be? It's supposed to be a story. The songwriter is telling a story. Now, a lot of times nowadays, the songs don't have the meaning, and it's just a lot of, you know, baby, 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 and all that stuff. And, you know, my grace is good, and other times you can call them baby. And that's why I don't listen to that stuff. But anyhow, here, Asaph is writing this song, and he's writing about Jacob, about Israel, and their history in a very short presence of time. But major part of the 81st Psalm is, of course, their time in the wilderness. How that while they were in the wilderness, God provided their needs. God gave them water to drink on many occasions out of places where there was no water. They would murmur against God, and God would instruct Moses. And at one time he said, Moses, I want you to take your rod and smite that rock. And out of it will come rivers of water. Now, to the average person, they say that's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. Get blood out of a turnip, but I don't think you can get water out of a rock. Well, just remember, you're dealing with a God who made the rock. And if he made it, he can fill it full of water if he wants to. And so Moses, by the way, he didn't tell him to strike any rock. He said, I want you to strike the rock at Horeb. He said, that's a special rock. God knows where the special things are needed. Amen. He didn't say, just hit some rock. He said, I want you to hit that rock. Hey, that's articulate, Brother Steve. Amen? He didn't say any rock. He said, I want you to strike that rock. And when you do, and old Moses said, I'll do it. He didn't have to pray about it. He didn't have to get a vote from the committee. He just went over there and hit that rock as hard as he could. And buddy, water gushed out of that rock. Enough water to water not only 3 million plus Jews, but their animals and everything else that they owned. And by the way, when they got done, I don't think the water dried up. I think it stayed right there. How you think about the picture of God telling us that, hey, you go to the rock, amen. Jesus Christ is our rock. And the Bible, listen, no, not anyone died on the cross of Calvary. It was that rock that died on the cross of Calvary. And they said, soldier, you drive in the nails, and the blood will run. Said, you put the thorns on his head, and the blood will run. He said, now, he didn't say just anybody. He said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And I'm glad the day they raised him up on Calvary. The blood ran, thank God, but it takes care of the sin of whosoever will. And I want you to know that 2,000 years later, that it's still cleansing from sin. So God told him to smite that rock, and the water came out. God provided angel food. Amen. Boy, they played, I don't know if you heard it, like they played just a little snippet of Dr. Piper preaching God's hand. And I'm telling you, he was getting with the program, Dr. Piper. He said, God's hand. I'm telling you, it was wonderful talking about how he said angel food. Buddy, that manna was not trusty old bread. It wasn't some kind of bread. That was angel food, praise God. God never gives you less. And the best. That water out of that rock wasn't muddy.
It wasn't full of minerals. It was clean and pure. That bread was fresh every morning and had a taste like no other. And then when they wanted meat, he sent quail. Amen. He didn't send buzzards. He sent quail. And I've never had quail. Some people say if it's done right, it really tastes good. Probably tastes like chicken. Everything else tastes like chicken, so that might as well do. But to talk about how good it was, hey, I'm telling you, bless God, they was out in the middle of nowhere. They're wanting a buy-low. They're wanting a Publix. They're wanting a drugstore. They're wanting a mall anywhere. But, buddy, when they woke up in the morning, bless God, they had a sandwich for breakfast. They had a sandwich for lunch. And they had a sandwich for supper. Amen right there. Hey, I'm glad God can give you something out of nothing. He made the world out of nothing. He made us out of the dust of the earth. And so he can get water out of a rock. And he can give you a sandwich better than Arby's. Say amen right there. I've been to church all weekend, man. I'm ready to go. Hey, listen. The theme of Psalm 81 is this. You'll remember, though, that while they were in the wilderness and God was providing miracle after miracle. Remember, the Bible said they walked 40 years with the same pair of shoes and never wore the soles out of them shoes. Ladies, can you imagine only having one pair of shoes your whole life? Poor God, some of you have to have a pair of shoes every hour. Say amen right there. No amen, but you know I tell the truth. Listen, I walk in somebody's room and I mean 75 pairs of shoes. And it is. It looked like an army was standing up in there. I mean, who in the world can wear 75 pairs of shoes? More than once. Amen. You go pay $55, $60, $100 for a pair of shoes, and then 2 years later sell them at a yard sale for $1. What's wrong with that? It's no wonder we're suffering like we are financially. Amen. Here's the theme of this psalm, and that is those people, all of them, by the way, not just some of them, all of Israel enjoyed the miracles of God, and yet, at some point or other, some of them murmured against God. Some of them murmured against the man of God. Some of them murmured against the priest of God. And some of them died in that wilderness and missed out on a lot of things that happened after they died, including going into the promised land. The theme of this psalm is missed opportunity. Missed opportunity. I've lived my life, I look back on my life, and like most people, you say something like this, boy, I wish I could go back and do that over again. But guess what, folks? That time has passed. The opportunity to redo it is gone. Think of the missed opportunity. Things that we could have done and could have enjoyed, but we missed it because we were too busy focused on ourselves or focused on something other than what was important. Israel had the same problem. Asaph is writing. And at the end, in verse 16, he says, you know, in fact, look at verse 15. So he said, the haters of the Lord. Can you imagine? Well, listen, getting up in the morning with no job, no money, and really not too much to live in or live under, they got up every morning and had fresh bread on the table. God provided that. They'd get up in the evening and they'd go out and they'd find quail. Not rotted quail, just quail on the ground. God provided so they could have meat. They'd go to the rock in Horeb and they'd dip their pitchers in that clean, fresh water. And God provided. And yet after all of that, the Bible said some of them hated the Lord. How can you do that? How can you hate a God who so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, to have everlasting life? How can you hate someone like, if your doctor cures your cancer, he's your best friend for life. If your husband or your wife stays faithful for 50 years, they're your best friend for life. Then why is it that when God provides eternal salvation, you'd walk out of here and hate him? God don't hate God. Oh, you know what the Bible says? If you're not one of his, you're an enemy of God. What is that? An enmity means you're an enemy. Oh, listen, friends. Don't make today a day of missed opportunity. Because notice he said some of them hated the Lord. And they should have submitted themselves to him. But their time should have endured forever. They had a chance to enjoy the things of God forever and ever and ever. But they hated the Lord. That's what they missed out on. Verse 16. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat. But notice that God didn't say day old bread. God didn't send them down to the day old Merida store. Come on now. God said, I would have fed them with the best wheat. Verse Has God ever done anything less than his best? Can God do 99% of anything? No! He always does the best. That's why his son dying on the cross is the best thing he ever did for you. And if you will just trust him as your Savior, you can enjoy best. Now, when God gives us things, when God blesses us, Brother Shelton, the world says, well, that's not much. But for us, he said, I'll supply your need. When you need, listen, when you need something to eat, and it's not a T-bone steak, but it's beans and taters. I tell you, the world may say, well, that's not my kind of meal. But buddy, when you're starving and hungry, it's pretty good. In other words, God, and by the way, and I've told you this before, when my wife cooks a meal for me, I appreciate, listen, I eat every drop of it, not because I'm a glutton, but because she fixed it. So it's good, and she provided it, and then when I'm done, she'll tell you, she's sitting right here, every time I eat, when I get done, I say, sweetheart, thank you for that meal. Why not? You know why? Because she went to the trouble of fixing it. It may not have been what Mr. So-and-so next door was eating that day, but it was pretty good at 1205 North Springs Road, I'll tell you that. I will tell you right now, the world says you don't drive the nicest car. Your house is old and falling down. That little church down there probably won't do much. But I'm telling you, if God gave it to you, it's the best you can have. Notice in this chapter, in this song, Psalm of Asaph, in verses 1 through 3, we find the song of Israel. In verse 4, we find the statute of Israel. In verse 5 through 7, the sustainer of Israel. In verse 8 through 10, the standard of Israel. In verse 11 and 12, the straying of Israel. And in verse 13 through 16, the suffering of Israel. Because notice, those that hated God missed out on the good things of God. And God said, I'll give them the finest meat, and I'll even give them honey out of the rock. Water's pretty good, but honey's better. Now, you don't drink honey when you're thirsty. I mean, you have to be pretty desperate. You know, if you could have a choice between water and honey, you say, come outside on one of these good, cool summer days in Columbia, South Carolina, when everything's wilting, you get and say, man, I'm thirsty. Give me a glass of honey. Now, maybe that's the way you are. You know, some country folks a lot of times do things that are a little unused. Even your grandfather, every day, drink, I don't know if he took a teaspoon or drank a glass full of mineral oil. Oh, just a spoonful. Yeah, not a glass full. Boy, he'd be thicker than glass, wouldn't he? Full Pappy would take a spoonful. Judy's dad took a tablespoon of vinegar every day. Yeah, he would go, yeah, help yourself. He'd say, you ought to try it. He said, not today, not today. I mean, people do some strange, and that, you know what, if that's what you do, I've never met anyone that got to thirst, that was thirsty, that said, I'll have a glass of honey, please. I tell you, you get a little iced tea, and some people, instead of using sugar, they put honey in it. My mother did that, and it's not bad. I like sugar because, you know, honey takes so long. You can pop a pack of sugar in there and get with the program. But some folks use that honey. You say that honey is good for allergies, though, because the naturalness of the honey will create in your body antibodies that will help you with allergies. I'm not going to get into all that. I'm just saying, God told Israel, I've got honey in a rock. You could have had it. You imagine how it's going to be at the great white throne judgment. People who've heard the gospel message, and some may be sitting in this room right here, and have consistently rejected salvation. Now, I don't believe for one minute that lost people at the great white throne are going to see into heaven. I don't believe that. But I believe you're going to have enough of a mind about you. Realize when you see the Savior face to face, and everything he said was true, and you're going to go to hell thinking, what could I have had? What could I have had? I know you'll know it, because in the Gospel of Luke, the story is told of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus knew he was in the bosom of Abraham, and so did the rich man. But he knew he missed opportunity. And because of that, didn't get the great things that God had. Let me give it to you quickly. Now we got to go. Number one, notice with me, first of all, the contrast of the honey out of the rock. Honey is the sweetest thing nature can provide. And a rock is the hardest. One of the hardest. That doesn't sound like too much of a combination. You know what the Bible said? Is anything hard for God? Is there anything that God can't do? Help me, folks. Is there anything that God can't do? No. He wants to put honey in a rock, he can. He wants to put water in a rock, he can. If he wants to save a 17-year-old boy playing the game at church and save him, he can, and he did. If he wants to save a preacher's kid off the church pew, he can. If he wants to save a pastor's wife right out of the parsonage, he can. It is the fire of suffering that brings the gold of godliness. I mean, if you'll just give your life to God, talk this morning about tribulation, Sunday school class. Christians go through it. That's just part of being a Christian. My, the Bible says when you come out of that furnace, you'll be like gold. It takes darkness to appreciate the light. Talking about the contrast here now. It takes, listen, a ship is safe, but it's in a port. That's not what the ship was built for. Don't build ships to sit in port. Built to sail and see. So you see, God took something to rock and says, I'll give you honey out of that rock. Then we see also the contradict of the honey out of the rock. God can make the sweet thing out of a hard thing. Listen to what the Bible said, Jeremiah 32:17. Oh, Lord God, Jeremiah said, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out iron, and there is nothing too hard. We'll all have hard places in life. God will give us honey out of the rock. Let me read you something I found real quickly, and I'll move on. Anybody here ever had a bad day? Anybody ever here knew you were going to have a bad day before it started? You might have thought you were. Listen, what this, how do you tell when you're about to have a bad day? Number one, your birthday cake collapses from the weight of the candle. Burners singing outside your window, the buzzer. You wake up, your braces are locked together. Your income tax check bounces. You put both contact lenses in the same eye. You wake up to the running sound of water. And you realize you're in a water bed. I like this one. This is my one. I gotta hurry. You call your wife. Tell her that you'd like to eat out tonight. When you get home, eat your sandwich and put it on the porch. Amen. Think about Joseph, hated by his brothers, sold into slavery. 13 years in prison. Charged with something he did not do. And he wound up second in command of Pharaoh. And God used him to rescue the Israel from death. Honey with a rock. What about the Apostle Paul? Shipwrecked, snake bit, beaten, stoned, in prison. When it's all said and done, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course and I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. It's the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day. And not to me only, prison. To all those love and honey out of the rock. We find the contrast, we see the contradiction, and we close, if I might, with the confidence, the honey out of the rock. Now, someone were just to tell you, hey, go to that rock and hit it, and honey will come out. You probably think they're nuts. Remember that a lot. Now, I want to say that if God literally wanted to bring honey out of the rock, he could have. Of course, we know that this is a spiritual picture of the blessings of God coming in hard times. Remember, those people have. Asaph, in his song, said, hated the Lord. They got all the good things from God and hated him anyway. So the Bible says it's going to happen during the tribulation period, after the church is gone. That things are going to happen. God is going to judge this world like they've never seen before. And you'd think that a sane, level-headed person, and by the way, when those things happen during that tribulation period, those people are going to realize where it's coming from. That God, the God that they hated, the God they rejected, the God they said didn't exist. Now you think if they came to the conclusion all of a sudden there really is a God, all that true, that they would say, I'm sorry, God. But instead the Bible said they will shake their fists in God's face and curse. Isn't that sad? What happened? Listen, you and I have enjoyed the good things. It may not be millions of dollars. May not win $7,000 a week. Or God forbid you should happen to buy a winning lottery ticket. Everybody got a real story right there. If God said it, here's the thing. If God said, I'll give it to you, then you can count on it. If God ever says to you, I'll take care of your needs, mark her down, honey. God said, I'll save you from your sin. If you'll ask him, mark it down, he will. Christian, if you're not where you need to be with God, and you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to get right, and I want to get back in fellowship with you. Hey, he'll do that. He said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse them all. He can turn a mess into a mess. God can turn a test into a testimony. He can turn a trial into a trial. Best of all, he can turn a victim. We, about faith folk now, the Bible said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Think about Jesus' life. Born into poverty, ever he did good, the world called it evil. Spoke the truth, they called him a liar. Manifested God's power. But the religious folks said it was from the devil. Think about it. He was killed on a rock, carried in a rock. On the third day, angel rolled rock, and he came out of that rock alive. Amen. And the Bible says, he is a rock of our
Okay. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're from missing a golden opportunity. In fact, let me describe it this way. You're missing an eternal opportunity. Does that mean that God will never give you the opportunity again?
Can't say.
God does not confide in me about this. Here's what I will tell you. The Bible does tell me that there does come a day, and if you say no enough, like anybody else, God will stop offering. The Romans calls it a reprobate mind. God is long-suffering to us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Like anybody else, you must know enough, and pretty soon you just don't want it. And if you don't want it, He'll offer it to somebody else. And remember this. You guys go to hell and you'll remember. Have a memory in them. Oh, yeah. See Luke 16. You'll have a memory. Surely will. You're going to remember the missed opportunity. Why? Because he did the Lord. Like Israel did that fall. While God was giving them water and they kept their sheep bearing out. No holes or clothes. 40 years were in the same. They never outgrew it. Never got too far. And they never had holes. Only God can be like that. And so if God, that same God says, I'll give you finest wheat and honey out of the rock. I believe I'm just going to stay with God. And every chance he gets, he's going to give me a little of that fine wheat and honey out of that rock. Ever been reading the Bible and God just opens up the Word of God to you? And you just get amazed.
Oh! I never saw that before! That's honey out of the rock! You pull up the choir on YouTube and watch them sing and you feel the presence of God. And boy, you're crazy. You know what that is? That's honey out of the rock!
Best of all, what a sinner. You care personally. That's honey out of the rock. He must come. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. They're coming, brother. Tim's coming.
We're going to sing a verse of invitation hymn while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And please stay right here. Don't move. Don't move about. Don't worry about getting your stuff together and leave. Because believe it or not, other than the message itself, this is the most important time of any service. So this is the moment when God's Holy Spirit is dealing with people. Now, don't misunderstand. Satan and his minions are also dealing with that individual, trying to cloud the issue, trying to convince them they've got time. Trying to convince them that you really don't need what he's selling. Yet on the other side, the Holy Spirit is saying, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. For your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Or may be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, the devil is saying, just keep living the way you're living. It's not that bad. And the Holy Ghost is saying, but it'll take you to hell. Don't go to hell for anyone or anything. Nothing. Nor anyone is worth going to hell for. I wonder why heads are bowed. Maybe there's someone here, you say, preacher. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't know anything about honey out of the rock because I've never met the rock. Well, I've introduced you to him today. His name is Jesus. He was there for Israel and he'll be there for you. You say, preacher, I need the Lord. And I want you to pray for me. My prayer will not save you. I can't save anyone. But I sure would like to bring you to the attention of the one who can. And by the way, he already knows who you are. But you lift your hand right now and say, pray for me. I need the Lord. Is there one in the audience? Quickly. Just hold your hand up. Take it down. Quickly. Anyone? Anywhere? Anyone? All right. Maybe you're here and say, preacher, I'm a Christian, but I've not been all I should have been. And I know now that really, that it was it's my fault. God never did anything to make me walk away. But I walked away from him. I went a different path. But I realize now that God loves me and that he wants me to be healthy and prosper. And I'm not talking about financially. I'm talking about spiritually. And I know he loves me enough that he wants to take care of me and provide for me and my family. And I've been away, but I'm ready to come home. Just like the prodigal said, I believe I'll go home and eat with the Father. The table is spread. They're waiting for me. How about it? You say, preacher, that's me this morning. Man, woman, boy, or girl. You say, I've been away from the Lord. But I'm ready to come home. I'm ready to get right with God, start serving him with all my heart. Now I want you to pray for me. Again, heads are bowed. No one's looking. Will you hold your hand up right quick and then take it down? God bless you, sir. Thank you so much for your honesty. Someone else, hold their hand up. Say, that's me. That's me. Please pray for me. All right. Father, we love you today. And I'm glad for the rock. That's Jesus Christ. I'm glad that he gives water out of the rock, but sometimes he'll even give you honey out of that rock. God, I failed you often, more than I want to remember, and I'm ashamed of it. And yet through all of that, I was thinking this morning, coming to church and thinking about something in particular, and I thought, oh Lord, after all that, you gave me honey out of the rock. Oh, what a blessing. What a joy it is to have a God who cares about us that much. Lord, although no one raised their hand for salvation, I expect there may be some lost folks here today. Lord, don't let them leave without trusting Christ as their personal Savior. Time to give up, let go, turn loose, and come to Jesus. That one that raised their hand said, I've walked away, but I'm ready to get right with God, and I want to serve the Lord. I want God to take care of me and my family, and I want to be a good Christian leader to my family, and I'm ready to come home. Lord, help that person to come to the altar this morning and make it right with God. Others have prayer requests and things upon their heart. May they come to this altar and do business with the Lord. Maybe somebody here saved wants to be part of Anchor Baptist Church. May they come and say, yes, preacher, I want to be a part. I want to be a member of this good church. And Lord, will it, if they're saved, Lord, we'll take them in. We'll baptize them or send a letter. But as long as they know Christ as their Savior, we'd love to have them be part of our fellowship. May they obey the Lord today. God bless the invitation in Christ's name. Amen. Come on, Brother Tim.
Let's stand, please. Number 163.
All right. We won't be too much longer here. We're going home. We all go home. The invitation is given.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood with blessings to be sold. From now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
All right, thank you so much for your time. And the part and the thing and the